there are real conspiracies. There have been real conspiracies. We know of them historically. So I'm not suggesting there aren't conspiracies. And I'm not suggesting that there aren't people whom have been vocationally appointed by God to hunt down injustices, crimes, these kinds of things, right?
For society even to make it, there has to be a measure of trust among people.
God, out of his own character, speaks the truth.
Right.
And what does our mouth reveal about our character? And
the Christian's message is predominantly positive. So if you're sitting around and listening to a podcast all day long that is only entertaining the worst things about people, you're sitting around and violating the Ninth Commandment.
Oh.
Chad Vegas is back in the studio from Bakersfield, and we just cut a program on the flight out of California. So you'll want to go back and listen to that. A lot of, I think, very good points made by Chad. And I don't know if we solved anything, but at least it was a fun discussion. So,
well, you posed the question that I think is the most important question for people to ask. So I really do think, though there was a lot of humor in just talking about California and interesting things, we do get to some principles. Yeah. I think every family, especially a young man, ought to sit down with his family and talk through and pray through.
Yeah. So, you know, I said something's always churning in Chad's brain. And so we had no idea what we were going to do here. So I said, well, what do you want to do now? And what we came up with is the Ninth Commandment and conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So what in the world is going on? Why are we in this conspiracy crazed world right now? And it seems like every day on a new podcast, some conspiracies out there and throwing people for just, you know, a loop.
Well, I think I want to start off maybe asking you a question.
Sure.
Because we're sitting here doing podcasts.
We have no idea how this is going to go.
I know how it's going to go. It's going to get us in trouble.
That's how it's going to go.
So look, I'm thinking about the fact that I was just preaching yesterday on the Ninth Commandment.
Yeah.
And one of the applications I made as a violation of the Ninth Commandment, something forbidden, is conspiracy theories. And I somewhat seriously—
Maybe just for our audience— tell people what the Ninth Commandment is, because maybe
the Ninth Commandment
maybe
is
you preach the wrong one.
You shall not bear false witness. And so then I went through the broad sense of the way the scripture applies that. And I think the first place that the bearing of false witness happened is in the garden when Satan told Eve that you shall not surely die.
Yeah, he lied.
He lied about God. And I think he... I somewhat jokingly, somewhat seriously said that Satan was the first conspiracy theorist. Essentially, God can't bear any competitors.
Oh, I like that. I think that's absolutely right. He was introducing into the mind of Eve a lie and a conspiracy that God's intentions are evil for us.
Correct. Exactly.
That's a conspiracy.
Correct. And then
so he's the author and lie of lies and the greatest conspiracy. Conspiracist, is that a word? Conspiracist, is that right?
Conspiracist?
Maybe.
I don't know. We're going to make up words now.
We're going to do that.
Yeah.
We're from the Valley.
We're going to bear false witness about the English language.
Then
Scott Clark's going to write a blog post giving us some kind of grammar gorilla checkup. You know, it's true.
You know, all those were written because of me.
Yeah, I bet they are.
Yes,
I bet they
are. Yeah. I've earned
well,
every...
Well, let's give him some more
he
fuel
listens
for the fire.
To my sermons, and then the next week is a gorilla grammar podcast or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, So, that's a really good point. In the garden, his first act was a conspiracy.
Yeah, and then think, Doeg essentially accused David of a conspiracy against Saul. You go forward.
They did it Jesus on the cross.
Well, I mean, if you want to pick out like the most consequential conspiracy other than the garden, it's certainly the religious leaders saying that Jesus was trying to lead a revolt against the Roman Empire.
Yeah, I mean, to pitch him as an insurrectionist and a man of rebellion against Caesar was the greatest conspiracy yet, because none of that could be validated.
Well, Stephen was leading a conspiracy against Moses, conspiracy essentially against the law of Moses.
Right.
If you go back, you know, and we can tell other stories. My point is, without getting into all of them, in the scriptures, my point is that a conspiracy theory is just that. It's a theory. It isn't an actual conspiracy. So I think it's important for us to understand and for people to recognize.
Is it a de facto breaking of the ninth?
I think it's almost, yes, I think so. I'm going to argue it is for this reason.
No, that's a bold statement. I think that's good. You said we're going to get in trouble.
let me get in trouble.
That's a bold statement because I think we're so caught up in this stuff that we don't realize that what we're listening to, and you know, the Heidelberg's very clear that when you, it's not only to bear the false witness with your own lips, it's to receive it is
correct.
A breaking.
And to be suspicious.
Yes.
In that way of your neighbor. So let me put this in this terms. There are real conspiracies. There have been real conspiracies. We know of them historically. So I'm not suggesting there aren't conspiracies. And I'm not suggesting that there aren't people whom have been vocationally appointed by God to hunt down injustices, crimes, mm-hmm. these kinds of things, right? Conspiracies.
It's just not every man at the computer.
It's not every man at the computer in his house, not doing his job, so he's violating the eighth commandment, stealing right. against his boss.
Stealing time.
Stealing time from his boss that he's mm-hmm. being paid for while he's listening to whichever talking head on a podcast tell him, you know, that Erica Kirk had yeah. parents who were in the CIA and she secretly and intentionally married Charlie Kirk so she could help Israel take him out because he was the one man standing between, you know, Donald Trump and whatever Bibi Netanyahu's
it's
plans were.
Amazing how that caught fire.
Oh, it hasn't just caught fire. I had a brother who I love, goes to my church, pull me aside and tell me I was wrong about conspiracy theories because he knows this is true. This is true. And I said, how do you know it's true? Now, he can't provide me with any actual evidence. And this is when I said, this is the problem I have. If you are publicly trafficking in accusations against people that you do not have and those accusations do not meet the biblical standard of evidence, then you should stop saying it. That is a violation of the ninth commandment. So that's one. Two, not every even established fact mm-hmm. of sin that we see mm-hmm. is necessary. It's not necessary to be shared. So Ham's sin is what?
Yeah.
Exposing his father's shame unnecessarily. He had an otherwise righteous father, Noah, who he exposed in real sin, who he exposed rather than covered. And love covers a multitude of sins. And if you look at the Hebrew of that passage in Genesis 9, the language about Ham is almost identical to the language about Satan, exposing the nakedness, the shame of Adam and Eve. So when we look at this kind of a thing and you say, there's two sides to this conspiratorial or way of speaking publicly about things we don't really know. It's one, we're exposing supposed conspiracies that we don't have substantiation of, that meets any reasonable biblical standard of substantiating a fact. Or we're exposing people who, even if it's true about them, they're otherwise good people and we don't need to be exposing them because love does cover a multitude of sins.
Yeah, I just don't see how Christians can find any justification for getting caught up in this in light of the commandments of the Lord. I don't see it. It's ruinous to reputation. It's tail-bearing. I mean, you just go through the Proverbs. These are gossips and tail-bearers. They're simply running mouths to ruin people's lives. And this is what is the damage that this does for the Christian witness and the ministry of the church and how we hear truth? That's what really concerns me. How we hear truth anymore. You know, so you're telling me, Chad, that they're not seating up there so the rain comes?
Yeah. I hear that they're seating. You know,
you can just pick your, okay, I think that stuff does go on. I think there's attempts to do that stuff. But then it goes further. No, what they're actually doing is trying to dump harmful chemicals on you to kill you.
Well, yeah. So I think
there's the conspiracy.
Well, because we know wicked things have happened. We know, for example, that the American government participated in sterilizing Native Americans. Right? That was awful.
Right.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
It did happen. So there are things like that have happened. And because wicked things have happened, somehow we think we need to ferret out all the wicked things that are happening.
Well, and not take something that may be generally accepted and run with it and reshape it in its worst possible outcome.
Yeah, because you are so suspicious of people.
Uh-huh, so suspicious. And, you know, it's like I was walking down Escondido the other day and I was talking to this guy and then all of a sudden he becomes a different person. And he says, watch out. The government is coming for you.
They are.
Really?
Yeah.
I
the man's going to get you.
Yeah.
Who's the man? Am I the man? You know, fly to the Concords. Anyway, but the point I'm making is I just think, so we're doing a podcast now.
Yeah.
And I told my car agent like the last 2 weeks, you would do yourself a lot of good to stay off social media,
yeah.
Stop watching or listening to podcasts. And here I am on one right now. And you know, like you would do.
Because I spend all my time in conspiracies.
Yeah, exactly. But it is true, Chris, you know it and I know it. And I'm sure we've been guilty of it, even probably together, that where words are many, sin is not far from them.
No, that's true.
And so it's easy to cross over from making a legitimate point to making assumptions about the motives of people or the behavior of people in other regards, that's sinful, right? It's easy to do.
We just become sort of cynical.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it starts in our homes, just from the news outlets constantly shooting propaganda and things at us in the way they frame it, and they want us to hear it from their own vantage point. And then we just become cynical about everyone. Like, you know, you almost have to stop and say, is the basis of my fellowship in my life with my spouse, my friends, is this kind of tearing down and destroying of others and receiving these reports and basing all my life and time reflecting on these things? Like, that's the greatest waste of life. But you're absolutely right. It's a breaking of the ninth commandment. I think that's really important in this.
I think it's very important. And that's one of my biggest concerns about the way people try each other on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like I think about, you know, I think there are very popular ministries. Some ministries like I don't even want to hear about because they've been so impactful in my own family, sort of, you know, the gateway for my own family into Reformed theology, for example, ministries that have had troubles as of late that are essentially getting tried places like trial by Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's gross to watch because most people don't know all the ins and outs of what's happening in these churches. You and I know we are in some text message groups where some minister in the United States who's otherwise faithful, as far as we know, is now being tried by Twitter.
Right.
Some accusations being made and it doesn't look good. Well, it doesn't look good, but we don't know all the ins and outs, and we're like, hey.
And what is the verdict always in these cases?
They're terrible. Yeah. They're bad. Yeah.
I mean, and it's completely shaped the view of the person without a trial.
Yeah. Yeah. Without the weighing of evidence with all parties present, like just people making accusations publicly. Mm-hmm. Are you allowed, for example, to bring a charge against an elder as a single witness? You know?
And are you allowed to do it on a public platform?
Correct.
Like the answer, let's be unequivocally clear on that. The answer is no.
No.
you are to bring that to the church court, to your elders.
And when the church rules on it, it'll be public. Come public.
Yeah. But the first court of appeal is not Twitter.
Correct.
X. It is not Instagram. And that's what we've become accustomed to.
We have. In fact, what we're being told now, and this is the thing that came back at me. So then, can you even be involved in politics and critique politicians if you can't, you know, sort of speak about them things that you don't factually know? And I think that is a crazy question to me. That's being thrown at me. Say, first of all, so people know, I ran for public office. I was popularly elected. I held public office for 12 years.
In Bakersfield.
Yeah. I think at times during my service, I violated the ninth commandment, the way I spoke about people I was involved with. I certainly strove not to. I never, when I campaigned, made comments about the people I ran against. Mm-hmm. I talked about what I believed in versus what other people believed in. And I was successful in doing that. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, here's what I believe and here's what that person believes, as long as it is in fact what that person believes. So one of the things I said, you cannot make a statement about your opponent's view that your opponent, you can critique it and he might not agree, but if you're going to summarize it, he better agree with your summary of his view or you're bearing false witness about mm-hmm. him, right?
Yeah.
He might not like your critique, but he should at least say, yeah, he's getting me right. Mm-hmm. And so I think you can do all of that in the political sphere. I think if you want to critique the fact that Gavin Newsom went into a restaurant and sat there at the French Laundry while he told all of us that we couldn't go in restaurants during COVID, and you want to say, hey, that's very problematic, mm-hmm. fine, that's fine. But if you want to say go from there to what's happening is Gavin Newsom is running a grand conspiracy mm-hmm. in which, you know, like—
That's what I'm
like
saying.
You jumped a step. Was he participating in open public hypocrisy? Yes. Can I go to the next step? No. Right. I can't then get into all the motives of his heart with regard to that.
Well, the motive behind the conspiracy craze is that it sells and it's dishonest then. You know, you mentioned popular ministries and struggles that have, you know, it's amazing how many people who have absolutely no insight into these things.
They're experts.
So the popular ones, and I know one guy, he's going to give the presentation on what's happened in this ministry, what he knows, and how this went down. And of course, you know, he may do it nice. You're not qualified to speak about this. Sorry.
And all his inside sources.
Yeah.
He'll have all kinds of inside sources.
And he doesn't have them on this case.
Yeah, so. But this is my problem. It's like, what is an inside source? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
what is an inside source?
Does that person not have to bear accountability for their words? Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, a real witness is someone who's willing to face his accuser and say openly in front of him, in the face of being cross-examined on what he has to say, I saw you do this.
Yeah. You know, when I used to preach this before we had all this social media years ago, the Ninth Commandment, and I said, you know, hypothetical scenario, let's just say somebody comes to you and says, did you hear about so-and-so? What should be your response? Yeah. I said, the person who says that should say, well, that's terrible. Let's go to that person and find out if that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. That is completely lost. There is none of that. There is none of that anymore on social media. And when I say it sells, it's because the controversies and the conspiracy sell. This is why Candace Owen you hear her conspiracies and you think, how can anyone even believe this? How could anyone buy into this? It's amazing how much that conspiracy has taken off.
Well, she should have lost all credibility mm-hmm. when she said that Charlie Kirk was a time traveler. I watched the whole episode yeah. when she said that the CIA
yeah.
hooked AI to ancient Sumerian looking glass.
Yeah.
And now time travels.
I think she got that off Transformers. Remember the glasses?
That was crazy.
You know, that like, were embedded
I actually did think to myself at that point.
Wiki? Was it Wiki?
Yeah. That's right. From Transformers. I thought, this poor woman. So that's the extreme variety.
That's extreme.
But I just want to get down to the kind of the basic suspicion mm-hmm. of the average Christian. So for example, you know, I'll give an example. Let's give a public one first. So AIPAC, the American Israeli Political mm-hmm. Action Committee.
Yeah.
Lots of people in Congress have received money from them. There's now an acid test that's happening in the political discourse that if you received a donation from AIPAC, then you are having your strings pulled by them. You don't really care about America, you care about Israel.
Yeah.
And I want to say, so we should conclude that everybody who received a donation from that particular group cannot be trusted now. Now, I could see why you might say if someone donated to that group, they were very supportive. But it's one thing for me to donate to a group. It's another thing for a group to donate to what I'm doing. So I want to say, okay, so if that's true now, if all the congressmen can't be trusted because they got donations from AIPAC, because of the money that came in.
This is a good example.
Right. Yeah. If that's true, then can your elders be trusted to ever discipline people who have money in the congregation.
Right, right.
And then we can keep going because you know where this kind of thinking goes.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know what? I see how that family's acting in church. You know why our pastor won't deal with that? Because they're probably big donors. Yeah. You know, when this kind of talk starts,
yeah,
they don't want to lose too many people to church. Mm-hmm. You know why our pastor, he doesn't want to lose too many people. He doesn't want to lose money.
There's on the ground level how the internet has shaped how people now think in all of life. That is deeply troubling.
Yeah.
Right there. I hope our listeners just caught that. How they look at people, how they form judgments, how there are little conspiracies now in their minds about people, how they think, why they do what they do, and our avoidance of them by refusing even to go to them to find out if it's true. We bake those conspiracies and now base our whole interaction with these people on that. We have been trained now to do this. The sad part about this, Chad, is that for a society to function well, for a society even to make it, there has to be a measure of trust among people. You know, you have to believe that when the guy coming out, this doesn't happen anymore. I'm just trying to think of something that comes to mind here. In Oregon, they still do this. They come out and pump your gas.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
I do like it. Yeah, go ahead.
Come out and pump your gas, right? Yeah. Like he's actually not going to like do something to charge me more he's not going to be careless with what he does. I believe his intention is good. You know, and that if you don't have that in a society and all you have is doubt and mistrust and wrong assumption, you cannot function in a healthy, this society cannot be healthy.
No.
It will be a sick society and all kinds of worse things will come out of that.
So if you ask the question.
Like the guy coming out's going to set, I know he's got a little lighter in there and he's going to set fire to my car.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know? Especially. You just live in paranoia.
Yeah, because
it produces paranoia.
I'm a Christian, and so yeah, so he's probably. I think that's exactly right, and this is where I'm seeing like 1 Corinthians 13, love bears all things, which yes. is also the issue of covering.
Right, believes
love believes all things, which has to do with assuming the best about mm-hmm. people,
yeah,
not the worst. And this is where I'm concerned is that Christians think that it's wise to assume the worst, to be cynical and suspicious uh-huh. about every institution, about every authority, that it's wise to be cynical and suspicious about them. And I want to say, actually, it's wicked to be cynical and suspicious about everybody. I don't mean be a sucker. I don't mean don't pay attention
don't
when
be,
things...
We're not saying don't be, you can be, don't be wise.
Yeah, I'm not saying any of that. But I am saying it is evil to be suspicious and cynical about all your neighbors, mm-hmm. particularly your Christian neighbors, your brothers and sisters in Christ in your church, your pastors, your elders, to assume the worst of them.
But don't you think it's because there's this perverse desire in us to want to see people fall?
Oh, well, there's that rejoicing in wrongdoing, right?
I mean, rejoicing in wrongdoing.
Yeah, we love to see them come down.
Yeah, so there's this sick, twisted delight in the conspiracy because we're really hoping it's true because it's going to mean the ruin of somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And I think people somehow think if they can ferret out all the conspiracies that are actually happening, they can somehow feel safe or protect themselves from what's going on in the world.
And their own lives.
Yeah, and I actually think it's making everybody a lot more anxious.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. We did a program, Dan and I, not so long ago, on just the anxiety problem of our culture right now. And that is highly driven by this kind of stuff. It's highly driven by news reports all the time coming at us and then people interpreting the news reports and taking them and running with these news reports in the worst possible way so that constantly on your phone is the worst data coming to you all day long. What do you do with that? If you're sitting in taking this in all day long, it's polluting your mind. It's going to drive up all your anxiety levels and you are going to become somebody you don't recognize soon.
Well, it's catechizing you, isn't it?
It's catechizing.
I mean, yeah. I can see you holding your catechism right
well,
in front
gonna
of you.
Well, I'm going to read it in a minute.
Go ahead, go for it.
Because I think the ninth commandment, this is the one commandment nobody seems to take real seriously. I guess they don't take any of them. But, you know, what is God's will for you in the ninth? That I never give false testimony against anyone.
Never give false testimony against anyone.
Anyone.
That means I don't get to make stuff up about Gavin Newsom even.
Right.
Incidentally, you don't need to. There's plenty out there that's already established. But I don't get to either.
Yeah. Twist no one's words.
So
how you present the thing that you've heard, we're all masters at doing this. We then take it and just add a little bit, twist it a little bit, turn it a little bit so that it's heard in a certain way.
Absolutely.
Nor join in condemning anyone. Do people listen to like the requirement of the ninth commandment? Join in condemning anyone rashly or without a hearing.
Rashly without a hearing. So join in condemning anyone rashly without a hearing. Right. So I put actually rash judgments when I was preaching on this just yesterday. I put rash judgments and conspiracy theories essentially into the same category. Mm-hmm. So that's where I slip conspiracy theories in. It's joining and condemning anyone rashly or without a hearing. You don't, you've made a rash judgment and you don't have the evidence yet.
Yeah.
And now you're passing that around. So
what is so sad about that?
Yeah.
Is how now you have trained others to view somebody and avoid them, despise them, hate them on something that may not be true. I think that's one of the most, well, we see why the Lord hates this sin. This is Satan's great sin. This is Satan's great lie. He's the father of lies.
He's the father of lies. So, you know, when you participate in this, I made the comment yesterday, is your mouth like the serpent or like the Savior's? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the question.
Right.
What's our tongue like? Is it, right. Whose is it like, the serpent's or the Savior's? If you're doing this stuff, it's like the serpent's.
Right, right. Now, the ninth has a positive dimension. That's why I love the Heidelberg. But rather, I should avoid, under penalty of God's wrath, every kind of lying and deceit as the very works of the devil. That's what we just said. And in court and everywhere else.
Well, because court's like the supreme place that you can harm someone's life, right? Yep.
Yeah, when you put up the hand and swear. Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And everywhere else, I should love the truth. Oh, that's just, you know, imagine that we all were after the truth about things. Speak it candidly and openly acknowledge it. And I love this about the Heidelberg on the ninth commandment. This is just beautiful. And I should do what I can to defend and advance my neighbor's honor and reputation.
Mm.
You know, it's just, how can Christians come in and say, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of heaven and earth, and sing the praise of God, and then go out and trash their neighbor and run a bus over them, and then, you know, have conspiracies and lies about them and think that that praise is pleasing to God, right? It's what James calls, it's double-minded.
Yep.
So
the tongue is a fire, right? It's set on fire by hell.
That's right.
Like that's, wow.
Yeah.
It's a destructive force and it reveals the heart.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when Jesus says that Satan, the devil out of his own character lies, God out of his own character speaks the truth.
Right.
And what does our mouth reveal about our character? Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously our need for the Savior, because clearly all of us have been like Satan on so many levels with our mouths. And it can be easy. It can be easy, especially when you're talking a lot, to do that. You know, that's one of the things I have to watch in myself. But right. I've just been thinking more and more about the way it doesn't have to be your tongue. It can be your fingers on Twitter or X or Facebook or whatever. How much are you spreading as much bad information about other people as you possibly can? Almost like rejoicing in the downfall of others.
Right, right.
Passing around unsubstantiated reports.
Yeah, right. You know, and I always think, it was the Proverbs say, someone comes up to you bearing false witness to you about someone, tearing into you about someone, they'll do it to you.
Oh, yeah. They're going to tear to you to someone else.
Tear to you to somebody else. I mean, you know, that should be a red flag of the kind of character of the person you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that positive side that the Heidelberg pressed on,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
doing all that we can to protect the reputation of our neighbor.
I know, protect. Yeah, it's the love, what you said, love covers a multitude of sins. We, you know, you think about what and this is always gospel, when you think about the Lord covering our shame. You know, what if he exposed? This is what's so sad about gossip soup and all the ways that people sit around and do this all day long and waste their life away in it. That there's a judgment day where their lives, if they're not in Christ, will be opened up and everything will be exposed.
Yep.
You know, so you would think that in the Christian, that should bring a measure of restraint and fear in us, that we don't fall into this. We would rather see that person's sins forgiven and covered rather than dragged out everywhere. Now, there are certain situations where sins are so heinous, abuse, whatever it might be, are so bad, it has to be brought to justice and exposed.
Absolutely.
But there are proper ways to do that. That's what we're saying.
That's exactly right. Well, I gave the example, you know, Jason Faber, my associate pastor, who I've been with for 20 plus years in pastoral ministry, and he's a godly man, a consistently godly man. I have seen him sin. He's seen me sin. In every occasion that's been, it's not something I'm going to share with people.
Yeah.
I'm going to cover because it's not his general character. He's repentant when he does.
Right.
If he sinned in such a gross manner or unrepentant manner that it needed to be brought to the elders and before the church, I'm not going to cover that. I'm not going to cover that. But I'm also not going to expose things that aren't necessary to expose. If I have a man who's abusing his wife,
right,
that's going to get exposed.
But it's going to be exposed properly.
Properly, to the proper authorities.
Yes.
To the civil magistrate.
If this is a violation of civil law, that's where it goes.
Absolutely.
And to the church. And if this is a Matthew 18, we're going to facilitate that.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
We're going to bring parties together.
Yep.
And we're going to work on that.
Yep.
So, you know, the intention is to preserve the reputation. I just think that's so beautiful, you know? The Lord wants us to advance and preserve the good name of our neighbor. You know?
Yeah.
That's loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. Well, it was striking to me when I preached Genesis 9 because it was such a moving scene to me, because both Ham's desire to expose the sin of his father, the shame of his father, we know is a righteous and blameless man, mm-hmm. but he falls to expose it. But the contrary was Shem and Japheth, who they refused to even look at it. They turn their backs and walk backwards with a cloak and cover his shame.
Isn't that the imagery of that is so powerful?
It is powerful.
Like they loved their father.
And they're expressing hearts like the mm-hmm. Lord's. And Ham is expressing a heart like Satan's.
You know, when David committed his great sin, you know, Nathan does the parable.
Oh.
And David finally sees, and he says, you know, I've sinned against the Lord. You remember the next words? The Lord has put away your sin.
Yeah. Well, even the way Nathan handled it was beautiful.
Yes, that's right.
Beautiful.
That's right. Effective, but with the goal of letting David see so that he would be forgiven.
Yep.
And then we get Psalm 51:32.
Yep. Yep.
You know, the most Absolutely. Beautiful prayers of repentance in the Bible to encourage us that God forgives the most heinous of sins. Christians need to, they need to think about this, because I don't think we've challenged enough on this. You know, we always focus on the certain sins that have power over people's lives, porn. You could just list a whole bunch, and we go after these sins and say, these have great power. Sin is very powerful. Nobody seems to emphasize the power of this sin in
the
people's
tongue.
Lives. The tongue.
James sure does.
Yeah.
And I think you're exactly right, brother, because my wife pointed out this
years ago. We pick and choose is what I'm saying.
That's right. And what we know is, especially as Reformed ministers, and most of your listeners being Reformed people, we believe in the power of catechism.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, believing that, we ignore the way the world is catechizing us.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in this regard, mm-hmm. the way we use our tongue about people.
Yeah, I've said this on this program, but Christian nationalism has been fueled this way. It's all turned into conspiracy against the Jews in the weirdest way.
Oh, it's odd.
It's very odd.
It's odd.
Like, it started this way and then it shifted this way. This is what these guys do all day long now. And I want to end on this note. the Christian's message is predominantly positive. So if you're sitting around and listening to a podcast all day long that is only entertaining the worst things about people, you're sitting around and violating the ninth commandment.
Oh, yeah.
The message generally of our whole faith is a positive one. Yeah. And
probably the sixth commandment as well.
Yeah. And then, right. And then you have to ask, is this profitable to my soul? Like sitting around and listening to this stuff, what is it doing to me? Whereas you have messages, you have pastors preaching to you who are laboring to give you the scriptures, to give you the words of eternal life, not Joel Webbin and all of his conspiracy theories all day long. So that's what you've spent your time on all day long, listening to these goofballs who are saying erroneous things, polluting your mind, taking you into darkness, when instead you could be listening to the one who gives you the words of eternal life.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And someday we need to do a show on how Christians ought to think about the Jews, because that's a big topic right now.
Well, how about we do that tomorrow morning?
That'd be great.
All right. Thanks, Chad. That was good.